accession number 14788, Rule 9.
Mr. Parker, Reel 9. Now, we were talking about, we'd really reached the last stages of the final day of the Battle of Knightsbridge, June 6th, and you were just on a gun. You'd fired one shot into the distance, no particular target. You were getting the second shell when suddenly you were covered in blood on your face from a nick by the left eye. Mm. If you'd like to take up the story, I believe you were quite, there was a lot of blood, you were saying.
Yeah. Well, see, when you see blood, I mean, any time, I mean, wherever you are, I mean, it's frightening, because you really don't know what's happening. And of course, with it being near my eye, I thought, well, I either lost my eye or something else has gone wrong. And with the blood sort of coming down my jumper, it was really sort of bad, so...
Down your tunic, you mean? Or were you wearing a jumper?
Oh, I was wearing a jersey like that. I mean... People think these photographs that I've made. A tin hat. I never wore a tin hat the whole time I was in the army. And yet, on these photographs, they show you know, sort of tin hat, but I never wore a tin hat.
So it was down your chest. Anywhere else?
No, just straight down there, sort of like it might have been that jumper down there. And then one of the lads, I don't know, I think. Might have been my pal Cheddar. He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Oh, I think my eye's gone," and he put me a bandage. The old army bandage. It's like a wad, thick wad, and he tied it around me, and that was it. And about say an hour later, that was the end of the battle. And
so did they carry on firing?
Oh yeah.
So they put the pad on you, and then you were moved out of the way of the gun position, and the gun carried on.
Well, as far as I know, I mean, I didn't see the gun again because.
Where were you taken? Were you taken back out or just to this slit trench?
Well, just out of the front line, not to first aid place.
So nobody took you.
No.
To the first aid place. No. You'd taken them. Mm.
And of course.
How bad were you? I mean, how did you feel?
Well, I felt rough at the time, but I'll just get on with the story because everybody saw me like said, "Oh, bad luck, Al, you know, bad luck." Because I did look bad. I mean, this great big wad of bandage on my eye, and all this blood—they could see the blood. I mean, so I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I just felt this nick, and that was it." I said, "And the blood." I said, "So I don't know what's gone wrong."
Were you in pain?
Not really, not pain as such. I mean, more sort of agitated that I didn't know where the blood had come from, you see. And I couldn't see my own eye, could I? You know, so I hadn't got a mirror. Don't give you mirrors in the army. So basically, I was worried that I'd lost my eye, or at least it damaged it. And
you were just lying there?
Well, I went to my own wagon, back to my own wagon.
Then. Oh, you were up and about then?
I was walking about. I was what they call walking wounded, so I mean, yeah.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you was somebody called Knowles. Do you know him, Knowles? Frank Knowles?
Frank Knowles.
Said that you rescued him. Said he got hit in the leg and then you pushed him in a slit trench and bandaged him up and looked after him. When would that be? Would that have been in the earlier stage? You didn't take him back to the thing.
Oh, no.
You just looked after him. No. Do you remember that? Did you remember Frank Knowles?
I remember Frank Knowles, but I can't remember that incident. No. Don't ring a bell.
Okay, so what happened to you? What's the next thing that happened? You were walking back towards your own wagon.
Yeah.
I thought you weren't going near that in case they shot you. You know, they shot you.
Well, basically, by this time, they'd almost packed up because they won the war. We hadn't.
Were the guns still firing? Our guns?
Well, I didn't. It did him, and if I was, sort of.
Were they still shooting at all?
Well, I think the Germans realised that they'd got the upper hand, and that they'd sort of packed up, and this was getting towards tea time. So, I think more or less giving it was a bad job.
So they weren't causing any unnecessary casualties to you?
Oh no.
Did you see the incident where Daniel tried to form square and moved E Troop, tried to move E Troop, and they got wiped out just about. Did you see any of that?
No. The only time I saw Daniel was when he shouted me out of the street. As far as I know, I wouldn't even know him if he walked to that door.
But it was only because he said he was Daniel.
Yeah.
And you remember the name, eh?
Yeah.
That's not from me prompting you at any time.
No.
You remember?
No.
So, the position... What were the Germans on the gun position by then, when you were back at your truck?
Well, it's a bit vague, because, I mean, same as I say, I got this badge on my eye, and I was a little bit worried about what it was, and whether it would be more serious than just a dick in the eye, but... I couldn't remember much after that. After that, the old Tiger tank, you know. I can see that Tiger tank now, with the officers in the top there.
Would it not... I mean, Tiger, I don't think they'd built Tigers. Are they Panzer Mark 4s or 3s? Would it be one of them? Or did you call them Tigers at the time?
Well, they called them Tigers, I mean...
Did you call them Tigers at the time?
Because, you see, very little information comes down to the... lad in the ranks, I mean, and as far as he was concerned, he said they brought Tiger tanks in. So I mean, as far as we were concerned, they were Tiger tanks.
That's what you called them at the time. So you don't remember? Do you remember how you actually surrendered or how you were taken prisoner? Do you remember how they actually did it? Because, well, you know, when did you stop being a soldier and start being a prisoner?
Well, I think. There was a couple of German officers came into the compound, and they said...
By compound, you mean gun position?
Yeah. They said, we're bringing some vehicles up, and we'll take you away. He said, we'll look after the wounded. And a wagon came up, and I'd got two stripes on my arm, and this German, he'd got two stripes on him, and he said, you... Me, you come, and that motioned me because I could speak German or English. And he said, I don't know how many, 10 on the vehicle. And we loaded the vehicle up, and I went to the front with it, and we started moving out.
Now, what exactly did you have with you? I know that's a funny question to ask, but you were wearing, what uniform were you wearing?
Nothing at all. I got a pair of shoes on, a pair of slacks, a pullover, and that was it. That's
shirt? Shirt and the
shirt and pullover, yeah.
What about, did you have any small kit or your water bottle?
Nothing.
So you hadn't got anything from your truck then?
No.
So you all you had was what you stood up in?
Like as I am now, yeah.
So you got in this truck?
And then they started moving out, and... I remember then, we hadn't seen the plane for almost a year. And as soon as we moved out, they moved us back through the minefield. And this was the minefield they were supposed to be trapped in. And of course, going through the minefield, you couldn't go right, you couldn't go left, you've got to stay on the same track. And we got strafed. I thought to myself, it's bloody marvellous. Here we are captured, first day, and we see the planes, and our planes, and the strafing us. And four or five of our blokes got killed through strafing.
With you or in the convoy? In your truck or?
No, in the convoy itself. I mean, in our truck, we didn't get any casualties, but in the convoy, we heard that, obviously, like word of mouth that so and so had been killed or whatever.
Did you hear about Colin Barber being killed? Or would you know Colin Barber? I mean, he was shot by the Germans. Did you hear anything about that?
No.
And the other time, at one time, the prisoners were in a group and they were bombed by hurricanes, they think, or typhoons or something. And they weren't sure.
I think there was...
Was that the same incident?
Funny mouth thing on the planes. They were bombed us.
Did they actually bomb you as well as strap you?
Yeah.
So that would be the same time? Or
I can remember more strapping than bombing.
So how did the Germans treat you during that, you know, in that truck?
Well, this bloke... being, you know, sort of same as I was, a bombardier, and it was quite good to us, because when we stopped for the night, he gave me a piece of cheese and some bread and some water, and a bottle of probably their wine, or might have been our Italian wine, and I shared it with the one or two pals around me. And
what did the rest of the lads get? Did they get anything?
Very little, no. And they said to me, they had a big German flag as recognition, so that in the daytime they cover the wagon down so they wouldn't get bombed. And he said to me, you could borrow this, and he gave me to cover over me, because the night was a bit cold in there. I'd always remember that, because he was like a real mate.
Did he speak English?
No, he sort of, But he was, some say, I was thinking of Germans being about 9 foot tall, and he was just the opposite, see? He was about my size, and he sort of, probably about 35, and I was 24, so he was an old man to me.
Not frightening at all?
No. I thought, well, if all Germans are like us, shan't do it too bad.
So how far did you drive? You drive back through the minefields, and where were you going? What happened next?
Well, I think what they did, they headed us over to the eye tires then.
Quite soon,
they were in trouble then.
So how was the takeover done? They just stopped the truck?
And just bailed out, and sort of they went their way and just left us with the Italians. And there's people all over the place,
So you were just dumped in the desert?
Dumped, yeah.
Was there a compound at all?
Not as far as I know.
And how did the Italians behave when they first took you over?
Well, they were different again to the Germans, because the Germans had caught us, but they caught us on Italian soil. So the Italians basically had got the right to the prisoners. And I remember, for about 2 days, we'd no water at all. And we started to try and trade water by giving watches and all kinds of things. And I know my pal, he got a £150 watch,
cheddar.
A good one, cheddar. And I said, Dad, don't give it to him. I said, we'll manage it. He said, no. I said, and he gave him this watch, and the night I bought us water, and it was bloody salt water. Not proper water, it was salt water. So, I mean, there was near on riots, because the ITAs had been trying to rip us off. And
now, you'd had them for 2 days. Were you just in the desert there for 2 days, or were you actually going somewhere, or in a truck or anything?
Oh, no, just stayed put till they...
So for 2 days, you just sat there with nothing to drink in the desert?
Yeah.
And they didn't give you anything, except by exchange?
Yeah. He bothered things, but that was... I can't remember having any grub off them, any food.
What state were you in, because you with your eye and everything? Had you managed to get a look at it, or you could?
Well, this is a sequel to this. Cheddar said, let's have a look at that eye of yours, Al. And he took this bandage off, and he said, bloody hell, he says, I can't see anything wrong with you. He said, you're bloody cottoners. And apparently there was nothing at all, just a nick right in the corner there, and I got a nick on the arm. I've still got a little scar there somewhere, and it must have been a little bit of shrapnel, and it's so quick, I mean, it hits you and bounces off and that's it. But the amount of blood it created was no man's. I mean, this was black by then.
You hit the front of your jumper?
Yeah, with the blood. And he said the eye was all right. Of course, blokes were giving me things, and on the way, bits of chocolate, and I thought I'd be a bit of an imposter. I felt like an imposter, really.
Well, you must have been relieved as well.
Oh, I was, yeah, because I thought my eye had gone. Yeah.
So, I presume you left it off after that.
Oh yes.
Did anyone say anything about your miracle recovery?
Oh, they called me, so and so and so and so and so and so.
Did they mean it, or were they joking?
Well, nobody really meant it, because, I mean, they wouldn't think, he's not the sort of bloke who would pull a fast one out. But more or less genuine, because, I mean, the blood was still caked on me on my jumper. I mean, it's a grey jumper, and of course blood had gone down there, and it blackens, as you know, in blood. And
so you were there for 2 days. What were you doing during that 2 days?
Well, just waiting for see what would happen. And then eventually some big trucks pulled up, and they got a truck and a trailer. And in there, nobody's visible. Well, by then, you see, people's stomachs had gone AY, and there was dysentery and all kind of things. And
how were you?
I was all right, not too bad. But I remember one or two blacks, I mean, you think of the heat of the desert, and dysentery was running down the legs and all down the... We all got shorts on. And of course, you say, righto, them that's got dysentery in the back, them haven't got dysentery in the front. So in the back, I mean, all the boats that were, you know, not too well, they were in there. And it was drying on them as the heat of the sun. It was a terrible smell.
So they'd lost control of themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Were there any latrines they could have gone to or anything like that?
No. One place I stopped at. So
you were just driving along?
Just on the coast road, going somewhere.
Going west?
Well, we finished up a place called Trigtaruna.
Sorry, I've interrupted you. You're saying one place you stopped at on the way to Trigtaruna? Or well, did you go straight to Taruna?
Well, as far as I can remember, I think we went... I can't remember stopping between there and Trigtaruna.
And what was the journey like then?
Well, as I said, this dysentery, I mean, was terrible, and of course wasn't very clever.
Were you crowded?
Not overcrowded, but we were crowded, but not sort of... not.
Was the dysentery spreading? I mean, you'd divided in two groups, but, I mean, were some of the groups that hadn't got it getting it, or...?
Well, no, that's what the idea was. I mean, if you isolate them, with having a big wagon and a trailer, all those that got it to start with, put them in the trailer, and I don't think it sort of spread to our blokes. I mean, at least I didn't get it, so...
So, what happened when you got to Trigtaruna? What do you remember of that camp? Because that was a camp, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's where I started to learn to play bridge properly.
Can you describe the camp first? You know, I mean, what was it like?
Well, I can't remember a deal about it, because when you say it's a camp, I mean, as far as I remember, we didn't go inside the hut or anything like that. We were in a sort of a sand and a bit of makeup, probably a bit of brush at the back of it, but there's no, to my mind, I can't remember a camp.
Was there any latrines or washing facilities or anything like that?
No, I can't remember a deal about it.
Okay, well, let's stick to what you do remember. Why bridge and why there? It's a funny...
Well, with having nothing to do, I mean, we used to play bridge from getting up in the morning till going to bed at night. I mean, nothing else to do. And a bloke called Sergeant, what's his name?
Walker? Bland?
No, it was a specialist sergeant. A bright sergeant, as regards... like a technical man. He was all scruffy. And like an old professor. That type of bloke. But he could play bridge. what was his name?
And when you say you went to bed, I mean, you don't mean bed, do you? You just,
oh, no,
you were
just
lying
lie down, yeah.
And how about this dysentery? Was it stopping now, or was it getting worse with people? Or how were people?
Oh, no, I think as far as I know, it had had its sort of fill, and it eased off a lot, I mean.
Were you getting food and water now?
Very vague on that camp.
Okay. About how long were you there?
We were caught when? June, weren't we? June,
yeah.
I remember a bank holiday Monday, it had to be August, wouldn't it? We were crossing the sea to go to Naples, so we were in June, July, about 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
A bit longer, yeah, 6 or 7 weeks. So yeah. That's where you stayed, but you don't remember that camp?
No.
What was your health like? Were you
all right, yeah.
And were you losing weight at all at that stage?
I don't think so, no.
So what's the next thing you do remember? That would be the end of Tahuna, would it?
As far as I was, yeah. Next thing I remember was going to the boat and crossing the water.
And what was that journey like?
Oh, it was terrible.
Why? What?
Well, we were on a ship that had been carrying coal. And we were down in the hold. And there was steps, wooden steps, down to the deck, and the toilets were on deck about 6 deep that way, and if you wanted to go to the toilet you'd have to stand in a queue and go up these steps and eventually go on the sort of loo, and there was rats in the butts running about all over the place, and this bloke Sammy Hall was on the same ship as me, and imagine the old army boots with the big Blake's on the back. Well, when you were lying down, the rats were running about all over the place, and you probably do that to get them off your feet. And inadvertently, one bloke caught Sammy there.
On the ankle?
Yeah, just above the ankle there. And fetched a piece off. And he was, when he got into Italy, he was about 7 or 8 weeks before he. Like it caused a big ulcer. I always remember that because he was terribly bad with that. And being a footballer, I mean, that was his prime joy. Actually, he was on the books of Derby County, so I mean, he was quite a good footballer. And about 2 days before.
Hang on, while you were on the boat, were you aware that you might get sunk by either British submarines or British aircraft? I mean,
no.
Do you think of that at all?
No, you don't think about things like that. All you think about is survival. I mean, in as much that you're going somewhere and you're going to land somewhere, you wouldn't think about getting bombed or. And about the somebody said we've seen land, and I said, well, where do you think it might be? So I was trying to pick up a bit of Italian, and I went up on deck to the Lulac, and I said to one of the blokes, come and see your armour, that means, how are you, what's your name? And he said, Giorgio, you know, you, Albert. And we were chatting away, and we were filthy by that time. Can you imagine being in the hold of a ship, been carrying coal? And he was hosing the deck down, so I said.
You gestured for him to do it to you?
And he hosed me down, and I'm like a bloody newborn baby. And then. I thought, well, I might as well stop up here for a bit, and kept chatting to him. And nobody.
Were you allowed on deck then?
I had to go to the toilet.
So you should have, when you'd been, you should have
gone
back
down.
But you were chatting.
Chatted. And he seemed quite content to chat and pick up a bit of English like that, so it suited him, suited me. And nobody come and said, you've got to go back down, because we were near land, obviously, so. I stopped there till I think about 10 minutes before he docked. Because when I went down, I was, you know, really posh. I was the only sort of clean bloke amongst about 100 down.
That's how many there were down there, about.
Oh, yeah.
How did the Italian guards treat you, basically, in North Africa and on the boat? I mean, were they all like Giorgio, or were some of them.
Well, no. Because he was a sailor, don't forget. I mean, sailors are different, you see, aren't they?
How have the guards been? I mean, you'd mentioned the one that stole someone's watch.
Not very clever. No.
What would they do? How did they treat you overall?
Well, at one place, I mean, we got one small piece of bread and a tin of.
Is this in Africa or in. You've not moved on to Italy, have you?
Oh, no. It was in one of those camps where they didn't recognise where we were after this salt water thing.
So what were you saying again?
One small piece of bread like that, like a cob, small cob, and a tin of meat. And of course, you no way of opening it, or you've got to sort of bang it and. Didn't give you a tin out, no.
So where did you land it at in Egypt, in Italy?
Naples. Then? I always remember that. Because they took us around Naples on they're the first big prisoners they caught. So, although the Germans had caught them, they'd been caught on Italian soil, so they'd got to be a prisoner in Italy. That's the Geneva Convention, I don't know, but that's what it's all about. They took us all around the back streets. In Naples, I don't know whether you've been in Naples, but in the back area, it's like a ghetto. And they're emptying the old pose on us and all kind of thing. We were in wagons going around.
They really did that?
Yeah.
Were they shouting at all?
Yeah, yeah. Bastardo. Hey, Italiano. Englander. Oh, because there's some rough people down in Naples. I mean, I heard about when I was later on in towards the north of Italy. There's a story up there, the north and the south, and it's like America. You know, they hate each other. All the people in the north are sort of for the king and country, and down the bottom there for Mussolini and, you know. All the back shirts. Well, and that's history, isn't it?
So what happened next? You were driven round Naples. Where to?
Well, to nowhere in particular. Until we went to a camp called Capua. And
was that near Naples? I'm not familiar with it.
No, it's just outside. It's probably 5 or 6 miles inland. Yeah.
Did it have a number?
That one didn't, as far as I know, no, Capri.
And what was that camp like? What do you remember of that? What sort of a camp was it in layout?
The only thing I remember about the camp was we were always short of food again, and then the RSM said, well, we organise in a boxing match, and the people who perform in the boxing match, they're entitled to a few more rations, so it's up to yourself, and I want to put on a good show. So I said to a bloke called Nobby Clark, I think he's dead now, I said, why don't we go in, Nobby? I said, we'll take it steady for the first round and then build up, and I said, we're bound to get something each, and, you know, extra rations. And the first round came out, and he came straight out, boom! Landed me one on the chin, and I didn't know what day it was. Of course, went back to my seat like, and the old second was pumping water on me and the old towel. Said, come on, I said, show a bit of laugh. He said, how we go at it next time? I said, we're supposed to be mates. I said, he wasn't supposed to hit me like that. I said, he's supposed to be gentle for the first two rounds and then make an issue on the third. Anyway, we got through the third round, and when we got a parcel, mine was a packet of prunes, and it was about 4 biscuits. So we had to share them, you see, 2 biscuits apiece, and a packet of. And of course, that time.
So it wasn't worth it?
We were getting a bit loose, I mean, you know, prunes were. No.
So the whole thing had been a waste of time for you, really?
And the ring was obviously a man made ring, so. They got this parcels came through eventually, and before that they had parcels, and the string from the parcels was real raw string, and the ring was made out of that,
the ropes of the ring.
Yeah, so every time you let back on that, I finish up with